Last week, Bitcoin crashed to its lowest value since 2020 in a panic of cryptocurrency selling, which was sparked by the implosion of so-called stable cryptocurrency Terra and its sister currency Luna. The contagion then extended to other cryptocurrencies generally, with the sell-off bringing market leader Bitcoin down by 40%. I asked Dr. Paul Mazzola from the University of Wollongong School of Accountancy and Finance how this has all happened.
First of all, we have to recognise that Terra was seen, which is the stable coin that crashed, was seen as the name denotes, a stable coin. And the common feature amongst stable coins is they're not expected to vary in value, because the assumption is they're actually backed by something of value. An example is the largest stable coin that's being traded is called Tether. And that Tether coin is backed by US dollar denominated assets or high quality assets, for example, US government bonds and other financial instruments denominated in US dollars. So as the US dollar rises in value, the Tether rises in value. So there's always that one-to-one relationship maintaining the value of Tether. The difference with Terra, which sounds like Tether, incidentally, which is interesting in itself, is that it wasn't backed by these stable US dollar assets. Instead, it was backed by a sister coin called Luna. And Luna's role is its place in an algorithm. As I said, this is complicated, but essentially it relies on normal market conditions of supply and demand to maintain the value of Terra at one US dollar. So Luna, being the backing of Terra, will fluctuate in value in accordance with an algorithm to re-establish the value of Terra at the $1 value if it's oversold. Terra can actually be invested on a protocol called Anchor. Think of Anchor as a bank or a system that acts like a bank, because if you invest Terra with Anchor, you can actually earn interest. And the interest rate up until recently was fixed at 20%. Now, Anchor came out and said it was revising its interest rate to a variable rate, which was going to be lower than 20%. As you can imagine, as this news came out, investors started withdrawing not only their Terra, but also the Luna, which was backing the Terra. And there was a massive exit. And as Terra and Luna was being sold, that started to create a downward price spiral.
And it's a bit like a run on a bank, and it sort of becomes a contagion.
Correct. So that's exactly right, Rod. So what we've had now is a downward spiral of both those currencies. Now, compounding this, the developer of Terra, a fellow by the name of Do Kwon, who established a foundation called the Luna Foundation. Now, the Luna Foundation maintained about $3.5 billion in Bitcoin as a reserve for this whole protocol, for this whole system, to give it confidence. Now, as he saw, or as the Luna Foundation saw the value of Luna and Terra declining, he was starting to sell his Bitcoin reserve in an attempt to support the value of Terra. But Terra was falling so quickly that didn't work. So all of a sudden now, we're seeing massive sales of Bitcoin. We're seeing which you can imagine will decrease the value of Bitcoin. We're seeing massive downward spiral in Terra and Luna. So this now has spooked the crypto market overall.
And it's having a massive effect on just ordinary people who've taken out loans to get into cryptocurrency thinking that they're going to just keep going up and up and up and they'll make a lot of money. And this is actually personified, I suppose, in the macro level by the country of El Salvador, Central American country of El Salvador, that made their currency Bitcoin, because the president of El Salvador was a bit of a crypto admirer. And now their currency's gone down, well, at least 40%. What are sort of the ramifications for a whole country's economy?
Yeah, that's a good point. Bukele, the president of El Salvador, as you say, is a fan of Bitcoin and the crypto market generally, and a number of months ago decided to make Bitcoin legal tender. Their sovereign debt is around $24 billion, and they've got an $800 million repayment due in January. And most economists think that they will default on that debt.
Dr. Paul Mazzola from the University of Wollongong School of Accountancy and Finance speaking with me there. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to The Wire on your local community radio station, wherever you are in Australia.